Hello, everybody. I am Kate, co-founder, editor-in-chief, and, you know, lead of the TV and film section over at But Why Though. Thank you all for joining us today. We are back with another Let's Talk, and this time we're talking Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like our Moon Knight episode, the first 20 minutes will be spoiler-free, and then we are taking off the gloves and going in. First, let's start off with our awesome panel of folks. And we're starting at the bottom, which I guess to me, he's like catty corner. I don't know how you do directions. Adrian.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. How's it going? Writer, contributor at But Why Though, all around Star Wars fan. I'm so excited to talk about all of the great stuff that happened and all the stuff that like wasn't so great. Like, I'm ready for like a really good discussion.
Awesome. CJ?
Hi, I'm CJ. I am also a contributor to But Why Though for film, TV, and comics, and I review the series, and I am really ready to talk about it.
Awesome. I am really excited to hear it. If you want to check out CJ's reviews of every single episode, you can head to butwhythoughpodcast.com. And this review will go up on our YouTube channel, which there are commands for that in the chat, and our awesome mod will take care of that. And finally, Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hello there.
Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Aaron, contributing writer, now podcaster, I guess it's just announced today, and YouTube reviewer, and everything else But Why Though.
Awesome.
Oh, I'm excited to dive into Kenobi because it's just so damn awesome.
Yeah, I have been... Now that we've done intros, we're going to get into a little bit of our expectations for the show, how we came into it, what we wanted from it initially, and somehow, your girl made it through 6 weeks without getting spoiled, binged it all today, and I was always excited for it, but I was hesitant of it, kind of given some of the highs and the epic highs and lows of the Star Wars Extended Universe on Disney Plus. Aaron, what about you?
Yeah, I think this was one of those ones that once it was announced, I was kind of fearful of it just because it's such a beloved character and Ewan McGregor has like done such a fantastic interpretation of it. So like, I wanted to have high expectations, and I was just like, I don't want to get my hopes up too much. So, yeah, I was definitely nervous coming into it, and seeing what they've done with Mandalorian, it gave me a little bit of hope. But yeah, I definitely felt better, much better after seeing it. Quite surprised after seeing it. So, but yeah, I'm happy with where it landed.
CJ, what about you?
Well, I was looking forward to it because, again, this was probably much the one Star Wars project a lot of folks were clamoring for, myself included. But I also kind of had a twinge of fear because I was excited for Book of Boba Fett, and that started off strong and then crashed into the ground. But I also think, yeah, I was generally interested to see what McGregor did and how they were going to handle Vader in this series and everything else. So yeah, I was looking forward to it.
Adrian, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think my expectations were pretty high going in just because I think it had a lot of the things to succeed. You know, you have the duo coming back. You have a great director in Deborah Chow. So like, you have all the things, and you have a bunch of expanded material to base everything off of as well. So you have stories to tell. So I expectations for me are pretty high. And I also think I was a little like high off of like seeing the first two episodes in at Star Wars Celebration. So I think that also like led me to be riding high almost the entire season, which might be why some of the stuff that let me down a little bit. But you know, my expectations were pretty high, and I think for the most part they were met, you know, thematically and all that good stuff. So
what was the hype like at Celebration for those first two episodes? Like, just being surrounded by like, many people.
It was insane. Like, it's really like, it felt like going to a midnight showing again, if that makes sense, you know, because there's really none of those really anymore, like where you have to like stand in line and wait, yeah, and like have to hope that you get in and, you know, where you sit and everything like that. It felt like that again. It reminded me of seeing Revenge of the Sith, you know, midnight showing and that energy and how hyped everybody was and how hyped everyone was when we were leaving. And they did a really good job of like keeping everybody entertained. Like they gave out free stuff and everything. So it was like an experience just overall. So.
Yeah, I will say I can't imagine watching the return of Ewan McGregor to Star Wars that people wanted so much, like
in
crowd full of people who are in love with this man and Hayden too.
No, it was Hayden. It was 100% Hayden. We were like on the floor, kind of just walking around doing stuff, and they had a stage specifically for like the YouTube live stream where it was kind of like Wild Wild West. Anything could happen on that stage. There wasn't anything posted, and we were just walking around, and we hear Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor, and then just a crowd of people charge the stage. And Hayden couldn't even talk because of how many cheers he was getting whenever he would say a word. And then he ended like his little segment with "This is where the fun begins," and the place like erupted like more than the Ahsoka trailer. Like almost, it was crazy. They had a lot of love, so lots of excitement going into it. And I think they did a knockout job. I think kind of overall for my expectations personally. Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. So we're going to go into our spoiler-free to spoiler-light section of the stream tonight. So panel, keep it spoiler-free. People in the chat, this is your safe space for now. First off, I want to lead up by talking about the main focus of the series, right? So the main focus here is we get to see Obi-Wan between episodes 3 and 4, and we get another childhood story, or surrogate father finds child, must protect child story, which Star Wars seems to really like right now. And we essentially get to see Obi-Wan with little Leia, protecting her from the Empire and where that all goes. We're also introduced with a whole bunch of Sith or Inquisitors. Adrian, I'm sure you were excited for that. The first thing I want to get into is the expanded vision that we have of the Empire in the Obi-Wan series, because I didn't expect that. And Adrian, you're the Sith guy, so I'm gonna throw it to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I thought it was a great bridging of just not only like the animated content, but the video game content too, because there's so many Easter eggs and references to like Jedi Fallen Order and things like that spread throughout. But seeing Inquisitors in live action is kind of crazy. And my boy Han from Fast and the Furious being one of the brothers, come on, man, it's everything I want, you know. Their lightsabers are amazing. If you're not familiar, they do the spinny thing, and in the cartoons they fly on them. So they're just cool characters that I think work well in everything that we have going on, especially at this time for the Empire, where it's hard to find Jedi unless you have people who can feel what they're feeling.
And how about you, CJ? Where do you fall on the expanded piece of the Empire here?
Oh, yeah. You can tell the Empire is a major threat. I really love the Inquisitors. They've been a great addition throughout Fallen Order and Rebels and Darth Vader by Charles Soule and Giuseppe Camuncoli, which expanded the Inquisitors. So to see them in live action and hunting Jedi is both amazing and terrifying, because, again, their whole job is we hunt and kill Jedi. And that's kind of scary. Especially for Jedi who have to hide after Order 66, and they're like, oh, these guys with spinning red lightsabers. But yeah, they were really well done, and I loved how it kind of shows that the Empire is slowly growing. Not to the point where it is a new hope, but still, it's that ever-present force, and you start to see how it's starting to grind down on not just the Jedi, but the normal people of the galaxy as well.
Yeah, and it's a lot of showing by telling, too, right? Because the Inquisitorius is huge, and all these things, and I think if it grabs, you know, Kate's interest, who might not be super familiar with like Rebels and things like that, I think it does a great job, because it doesn't need to over-explain what they are or where they came from. They kind of just are, and they just let it be what it was, which was great. Yeah,
they're like an ever-present evil in a way I don't think we really have gotten at least in live action, an understanding of, and they're all extremely intimidating. Like Third Sister Reva, oh my god. Every line she delivers, like, there is a coldness, but it's not without emotion. Like, it is chilling, and it is intimidating as all hell when she talks. Aaron, what about you? What did you think about the expanded role of the Empire in Kenobi?
So, same basic feeling. I absolutely loved it because, again, I've read some of the comics, watched the animation, played some of the video games. So, like, I was so excited to see, because one thing for me personally was it's the dynamic between the Inquisitors and Vader, because there's such a distaste for the Inquisitors from Vader. Like, he just doesn't like them. Like, and there's a whole backstory there as to why and, you know, how it goes, and it's fantastic. So it was just so nice to see kind of like that inclusion and that expansion into the world as a whole. And, you know, I was surprised we got it. And I hope it means we'll get like more things like that. They'll start to pull on those stories from the comics and things like that. So, but I like that they had a bit of freedom to do with it. Like, everyone was kind of like, oh, well, I don't remember this person or this person. So it's kind of nice they had a bit of freedom to do what they want. And, you know, they had a little bit of a you know, a loop, like threw some people for a loop in a couple of episodes.
Yeah,
but I like that.
And by adding new ones too, right? Like, because you having Inquisitors we know, then also adding Inquisitors that we've never even seen before in comics or the animated series. So even people like who do have the experience are still getting new stuff with this season.
Yeah, and I think like as we kind of move towards the light side to talk about like the light-ish side, the very sad, depressing, spy-ish side, which is where Kenobi is situated within this larger world of Jedi who are on the run, the position he has to take in all of that, and kind of the to be honest, with the Empire as such a threat, there is a lack of hope, I found, that went very deeply throughout all the episodes for everybody who is resisting the Empire, and especially those who had begun to mythologize the Jedi or pretend to be Jedi, and also those who were running from it. How did you all feel the series handled that sense of danger, and also showcasing Jedi in a time where Jedi are hunted? Aaron, we can start with you.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? And I think it's highly kind of captured by just Kenobi in general, like Obi-Wan, like he's just so beaten down. And I mean, even when you kind of get introduced early on to his plight and what he's working towards, like, he just feels like a different person, which I kind of love that contrast, you know, with Vader and Anakin, because, like, you know, Vader is himself a different person. So with Obi-Wan, like, it's just that loss of hope. And I guess, you know, setting this in between 3 and 4, kind of like without that hope, kind of felt nice as a foreshadowing to a new hope. So I kind of love that, but then there's still that pocket of resistance. There's still those people there who really want to do some good, like even the little good they can do, they want to do something towards. So it just felt like that light was still kind of shining there. And it's nice to see, but seeing Kenobi broken, that was hard to see. It was very hard to see.
What about you, CJ?
Yeah, a large part of what the series deals with very well, I feel, is Obi-Wan's guilt about what happened to Anakin. He feels he let Anakin down, and, you know, he's lost. The Jedi Order was the only life he knew, so losing that was a big blow for him. And then there's also the fact that he has to look after Luke, and then gets swept up into the everything with Leia, so... And I think through Leia and the other characters he meets, Obi-Wan learns that, yeah, even though the time of the Jedi may have passed, what they stood for is still worth fighting for. And some folks are doing that. And I really think that is beautiful that he learns to, you know, open up again and, you know, be the Jedi he was, or, you know, be Ben Kenobi, more or less. So that was really well constructed, I think.
And for you, Adrian?
Yeah, I mean, I think outside of the Kenobi stuff, I think Aaron and CJ hit on really well. I mean, this is like the Prius rebellion that we can see, you know, like they're using T-47s still as like cargo things before we see them as the things that take down the AT-ATs and Empire Strikes Back. So this is a very infancy scary time. Like, this is probably the best time period they could have done it in, I think, personally, because you also get to see people who aren't watching Rebels, who aren't playing Jedi Fallen Order, and kind of seeing the embers of, like, the Rebellion and those things are now finally seeing this is what we were before even Rogue One. So yeah. I think it even transitions that part well, because by the end of, you know, we see them on that transition path, just like everything else is. So I think in that way, too, it bridges really well, not just the Kenobi story, but just the overall Rebellion story adds a lot to it.
So do you think it kind of fills in a gap of knowledge for folks who only watch live action?
Yeah, I think that this might be, I think, the best bridge gap of content I think that we've had for prequel to original trilogy. I don't know if you guys feel that way, too, but I mean, Rogue One is great, but Rogue One is, like, already pretty far in the process, you know, and jumps right into four. And then Rebels isn't as accessible as other things. So this is a really, really good bridge, I believe.
No, that makes sense.
I kind of hope that this kind of opens people up to say, like, there's a lot of linkage here to other Star Wars things. Like, it's out there. Like, go check it out. Like, this is, like, they're great stories to be told. You know what I mean?
And I only want to touch on it lightly here because I want to kind of expand on it once we move into the spoiler section of the show. But one of the things I have always loved about Star Wars, and a lot of it comes from Clone Wars, but it is Kenobi's dynamic with the people around him, because he's a mentor, he's a dad, he's a brother. Like, he is very much someone who, despite knowing what he needs to be as a Jedi, he is moved to connect with people. And I think that watching him here, we get the chance to understand, I guess for me, the closed offness that he has, and that, like, fear and that, like, refusal to get involved, is because I think he's overcorrecting for the attachments he made with Anakin, for the attachments. And so I think it's a lot of taking it out on himself. And one of the things that I really appreciated, as somebody who pretty much only watches live action and all of the Clone Wars multiple times whenever I get a chance to, and Bad Batch, and I haven't really gotten too far into Rebels. I know I need to, don't at me. But it was a really wonderful way to see not only how Kenobi had become even more dynamic in this kind of vulnerable way, but also in how the world had built out and it was almost reacting the same way that he was. And I think that, like, so I 100% agree that it's a really good bridging the gap moment. And I think that it is one of my favorite things, and that I hate it when Star Wars does stuff where it calls back to stuff that is everywhere else, but it doesn't situate it in the story. And I never felt like that here. I was watching it and I felt like I could feel the entire story moving, and I could feel the entire story moving even without prequel or original trilogy knowledge, to be honest. It worked fairly self-contained. Yeah. How do you all think it worked narratively, Adrian?
Yeah, I think it does. It fixes a lot of the issues, and this might be because of it, but I think this fixes a lot of the issues that we see in Solo, where a lot of the Easter eggs, for me, as someone who just consumes the content, I was like, oh, well, he did the thing, right? But for when we talked about this on our recording way back in the day, that, you know, it felt like you had to go do homework to enjoy the show, right? And I don't think you get that here really at all. And because of their the way that they structure it, it's not like, it's not overt, it's not over the top, it's little Easter eggs here and there that could, you know, want you to go, oh, Inquisitors, let me go watch Rebels. I don't know, make you just feel different about the prequel trilogy and seeing the relationship between Anakin and Obi-Wan through their life, through the flashbacks and through all these things. I think it knocks it out of the park narratively from what I want out of the series, to see them have that conflict and to see it not be resolved because we know it's not resolved and that's okay. So I think it gives you a lot of room to do a lot of cool things. And I think they did all the cool stuff I wanted them to do. That's not to say I don't have, like, issues here and there with kind of, like, how things were structured. But I think overall, overarching narrative of what the show needed to be, I think it nails it 100%.
CJ?
Yeah, I think if you've only watched the, like, live action films, you'd be great with this. And I think it moves, like, very, very well. Like, I was engaged. There's, like, no drag, no slow parts compared to Boba Fett, which spent half its time being like, here's Boba Fett as a crime lord, and half like, oh, here's Mandalorian season 2.5. Obi-Wan Kenobi feels like a self-contained story, and it moves at a great pace. Things are happening, and there's also it also builds upon events in 3 and 4. And
yeah,
very well done, very well done. And I really enjoyed how this series was constructed.
Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, I say the same as CJ and Adrian, kind of just to build upon that. It was nice to see a truly focused story that like hones in on Obi-Wan and kind of like the plight of you know, what he's going through and that internal struggle. And it was nice not to feel like it had to lean on another thing. Like, hey, look, we're Star Wars, here's Mandalorian, like just jamming it in. Like, you know what I mean? It truly was like Obi-Wan and everything that was related into this box of a story. It was nice to see. And like CJ said, kind of like each episode moved at a nice pace. Like it all felt connected and where it was going, as opposed to like sometimes I think with The Mandalorian, there's this massive chunks of episodes you could take out and you've still got that main, you know, through plot. So it was kind of nice to see that kind of like linkage and as far as the narrative itself and how it all connected. Yeah. So I think it had a good flow to it overall. And I was really pleased with it. And for me, I think it definitely stands out as one of the top Star Wars series to date.
Yeah. And to wrap up kind of this spoiler-free review section, if you are watching now, you're watching it on YouTube Live, so you get the awesome spoiler content after this. If you're watching it after, you're listening to us or watching it to us or watching on our YouTube. So thank you. But to wrap this part up, I wanted to talk about stuff it could have been done better. Now, for me, very specifically, I think Deborah Chow did an amazing job. Like, I want her to get more Star Wars, and I felt like that when she directed Mandalorian. But I would like to personally start a GoFundMe so that we can get her a light set up because I couldn't see anything. And also something that was extremely frustrating is her inability to light skin that is darker than a Fenty 310. That was annoying to me because Reva is so evilly charismatic and beautiful to see on screen that there are some situations where Obi-Wan looks dope, but Reva's just kind of washed out because she's relying on that natural lighting, and it is not doing Moses Ingram the favor of highlighting her the way that it should. And I think that that is something that you see a lot with directors who maybe haven't worked with a lot of people with darker skin tones or are catering to the leads, which would be little Leia and Obi-Wan, who, I mean, they look great in those darker scenes, but you're washing out your other characters of color. The same thing happens to Indra Verma in quite a few scenes. And so that was just really frustrating to me, especially as somebody who, like, always has to catch the right light to take a selfie. That is the one thing I wanted improved visually, but it was still a really striking show. But also, like, don't make me squint to watch my TV, please. Like, I would like to see what's happening. You put in a lot of work.
Yeah, and I really wonder, like, I would love to see the behind the scenes for this because I want to know, like, how much they filmed in the volume and how much was, like, on-site stuff because I don't think we had this issue a whole lot in The Mandalorian.
No, not at all.
So I'm interested to see how – but because watching it – like, you know, on the thing projected. I haven't watched it on my phone or on my on any other screen other than like my home projector. And then we saw it in Star Wars Celebration, but it didn't have that washed out issue there. So I wonder how much of this went into like, it's weird that they would do this, but why would you do it in a way where it's supposed to be viewed on like a super bright screen or something like that, like in a movie quality type environment when a lot of people are going to be watching this on their phone or on their laptop.
It felt like some of it was to specifically highlight that like bright glow of the lightsaber.
Yeah.
But when the lightsabers aren't there, it's just dark.
Episode 4 kind of feels very sickly green.
I get it because it's the whole ocean, but the lighting kind of felt weird to me.
And for me, I watched it. So I watched it on my computer, but I watched it on like my 4K, like, Lenovo 34-inch right there up to my face. And I was like, if I can't see it here, I feel like putting it on my big TV isn't going to be much different. But yeah. I agree, Adrian. I do wonder how much of it was thinking the formats in which people would be watching and how it appeared just based on the type of light that was used to stream it or watch it.
I saw that as a criticism like of the show, and I didn't really see it because when I'm thinking of like super dark blacked out, I'm thinking of the Game of Thrones episode where like the whole episode was basically black and you didn't see anything but like torchlight. So that's what I was expecting, but I can definitely see how those moments can be washed out because Mulgus Ingram is scarily beautiful, amazing, like especially in those first two episodes. Fierce. So it's unfortunate that people didn't get to see her in like her full beauty if they don't have like the right format to watch it on.
Yeah. Other gripes that y'all have. We only got a couple minutes left, but anything else or y'all think the series could have improved on? Aaron, we can start with you.
I very little. I mean, mostly it's the visual. And it's, again, it's tough because I like the visual when you see the lightsabers, the bright glow and how it highlighted. But and again, especially with like when you see Vader in it, like offsets really nicely. But there's plenty of times where you kind of like squinting to see, and there's so much beautiful detail within the set design, within everything, and you kind of miss all that. I mean, even like when they're in the cave, like the cave's so dimly lit, like you just don't get to see it. And I'm one of those ones, I'm looking in the background for all the other characters and the alien designs and things like that. So I was a little disappointed there. I wanted to see a bit more, but small gripe.
Yeah. CJ?
I would have liked to see more of the supporting cast, the folks people help out, especially O'Shea Jackson Jr. as Rokin and Kumail Nanjiani as Haja Estri.
I'm hoping for a spinoff from them, honestly.
Yeah, because those folks are the making of Rebels. I'm just going to say it now. And it would have been fun to see these people inspired by Obi-Wan to, you know, continue to help him out and fight back against the Empire a little more. I want to see more of that dynamic.
So I would also like to shout out Kumail Nanjiani for booking his nerdy dreams. Like that, I'm very proud of that man.
Just raking in the Disney money.
Did you see
money.
The tweet? Did you see the tweet he put out with his, what was it, with his cousin or something?
His cousin,
like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. Love so it. Anyone who doesn't know, like he put out a tweet saying like his cousin had all these like Star Wars action figures and he couldn't afford it. And he's like, well, no, in Star Wars. So how'd you like that? I'm like, I love that kind of pettiness. It's awesome.
Amazing.
Family pettiness is the best.
Adrian, how about you?
I think I would have liked some more, you know, Uncle Owen, Aunt Peru stuff. I mean, if this is getting you interested in wanting more about like how they showed how they're badass at the like the last episode, you know, you think you could protect him from me. And, you know, they for the most part, they do a pretty good job and they're pretty badass. They really do take a lot of like Uncle Owen's a really good uncle dad to Luke, and I just wish we would have gotten more of that. So when they do have the flashback scene, you know, like where he's pushing all the rocks off, he has more than one memory of Luke to like make him excited about getting back to Luke, because all he's seen is him be a little butthead, you know, not doing his chores, you know. So I'd like to see them have that dynamic more, so I can really feel that he cares about him the way that he like now cares about Leia.
Does it not present opportunity, you think, for Star Wars to kind of open up this world and explore it a bit more? Because I think if you lean too much to the side characters and you're taking away from the main story and you're shifting the balance of it.
I would have liked one episode. I also don't think that they like structured the episodes in I would have liked maybe one episode
classic,
at the beginning
that's a
where
Disney Plus move as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't want them to set up more stuff. They should have just given us like one thing, like of him saving him. Even if he doesn't like meet him officially, he still saves him, has a memory of saving him, knows how important he is, and then you can still do the hello there at the end of the, you know, at the end of the show. So
I will say one very small gripe that I would not take away points from this show for is that I hate that it busted open my theory that Alderaan is just a planet of Latinos, because I was like, there's not enough brown here.
There's hope, Kate. There's hope, because Bail is from like another, you know, town area on the planet. So there's probably like a whole community of Theos and Theas out over there, because he married in. He took Bray's last name. So
I was
a whole community there.
I was just looking forward to the kind of saw that, and I'm like, no, where is it?
Where is it? Yeah.
Leia can dance like everything. And I, anyway, but yes, so I think that this is a really good place to kind of stop for right now and really get into the meat of the series. So as a reminder, I'm Kate. You can find me on Twitter at @OhMyMythRandier. Aaron?
You can find me at BritishCPA on Twitter and Instagram and in the Butwiler Discord because it's awesome.
CJ?
I am CJ Writes Things on Twitter and in the Butwiler Discord, and you can also find my written work out in the internet, and also I'm the co-host of Into the Spider-Cast, where we talk all things Spider-Man.
Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperReuiz93, and I guess doing stuff with Aaron and Kate and all the great people on the podcast again soon, so be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, this is where we say, if you did not see it on our Spotify feed, But Why Though is back in podcast form, a little different, but still here and still podcasting. So if you're listening to us on the podcast or watching us on the YouTube, thank you so much. Go follow our Twitch so you can now get like the spoiler stuff next time.